Welcome to the Christ Church London podcast. This is a talk from our Mile End service. To hear talks from each of our services, please visit christchurchlondon.org.
Really good to be with you guys today. I have so much been looking forward to it. And great to see Isaac as well and see how much he fills the space. It's like it reminds me about Joel 7 years ago. I have promised Joel that I will tell at least 5 anecdotes about him, but I immediately repent, I won't. It's really good to be part of this day, and it is an amazing day today. It's not the end of a chapter, it's a continuation of something wonderful that has been going on for quite a while. But it's still the beginning of a new chapter at the same time, which is the most wonderful thing when that is the case. So I'm so excited for you guys and for what God is doing here. And of course, we focus on Adnan and Jess today, but as Sarah said, this involves the whole community, what we're talking about today. And what I'm going to share with you, this is also for the whole of the community. But of course, there's something also directly pointed to Adnan and Jess in what I'm going to share. A few years back, I did a terrible thing. I did one of these personality tests. That's a bad idea. So it seemed quite innocent when I started to answer the questions, and I thought it went really well. And was more or less looking forward to the result. And one of the things that this test kind of revealed was, what is your most fundamental fear? And of course, I thought my most fundamental fear would be not to be challenged enough. That's a nice fear to have, isn't it? It turned out that it wasn't. So this innocent-looking test, and very precise, by the way, revealed that my most fundamental fear was the fear of not being loved. Yes, wow. Joel is already devastated. And that was a bit hard one to swallow. It didn't feel very masculine, and, you know, it took me a while to kind of accept the fact that that was probably right. Then when I had realized that this is the case, it was actually quite helpful to find out, all right, I carry this within me. And it does have an influence in terms of how I relate to people around me and even how I relate to God. So it became quite interesting in the end. At the beginning, I felt quite alone in it, but since I have found out that there's some human condition when it comes to this kind of fear, to some degree, it is in most of us. Recently, I have worked with a special form of therapy called emotionally focused therapy, also called EFT. And just as we read in the Bible, it's based on the thesis that we as human beings are created for community. And it's the need for connection that is the focal point of our emotions. So if you ask the question, what are my emotions kind of centered around? They are centered around the need for connection. And what they say is that emotions are basically what fuels us. They say we dance the dance of life to the tune of our emotions. Which can be a bit provocative for us living in the Western world, because we like to think that it's all decided up here, right? I think, therefore I am. I think, therefore I do. I'm reasoning, therefore I. Turns out that's not how it works at all. We are pretty much controlled by what goes on the emotional level of us. And in a way, I think we kind of know this. We may not like it, but we know it. We know these times when our heads say, you should be feeling like this. But down here, we're like, but I don't feel like that at all. Is that right? Yeah? So Susan Johnson, who is one of the founders of this EFT, she says that there are three questions that we knowingly or unknowingly ask of every important relationship. And these questions are you available? Are you responsive? Are you there for me? Or in other words, can I count on you? So on the emotional level in this community, these questions are being asked all the time, which I find quite interesting. It's good to know, isn't it? Now, Paul talks about these things too, but with very different words, and we're going to read those from Ephesians chapter 3. And this is what it says. Therefore, I bow my knees to the Father, after whom every ancestral house in heaven and on earth is named, and pray that in the riches of his glory, he will give you with power to be strengthened in the inner man by his Spirit, that Christ by faith may dwell in your hearts, and you may be rooted and grounded in love, that you may have strength with all the saints to comprehend how great the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth are, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses all knowledge, that you may be filled until all the fullness of God is reached. He who is able by his power at work in us to do far beyond all that we ask for or understand, him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus in all generations for eternity. Amen. It's quite a prayer, this one, isn't it? If you ask the question, what is the job description for the church? This is the job description. If you ask what is the job description for these two guys, well, basically, that's the job description. If we do this, the rest will come by itself. So we are touching on something really essential when we dive into what Paul is talking about here. And I find that extremely promising. Just think about it. So this is what church is about. It's a journey of exploring the love of Jesus Christ. Full stop. Just think about that. We have so many other thoughts about church, right? But if you ask, what is church? Well, that is church. That's how it was ordained to be. That's God's thinking about church. This is what Paul is teaching us today. So this prayer is offered in a context where Paul isn't writing to a specific church to talk about specific matters, but rather to a group of churches that he planted. Today they would be kind of in the Turkey area. So it's more of a universal letter where he talks about, so what is the Christian faith? What is it like to be a Christian, and how do you live the Christian life? And throughout this letter, there is a very fundamental human need that is being addressed, and that is the need to be filled. It's an interesting read. If you're interested, do it yourself. Read through the Ephesians and see it's all over the pages. The need to be filled. We are born with a longing to be filled with the presence of another, which I find quite interesting. It's essentially the longing for God, but it also expresses itself in our relationships with one another. In all the important relationships of our lives, this longing comes to life in us. So notice how Paul says it. He says, therefore, I bow my knees to the Father, after whom every ancestral house in heaven and on earth is named. So it speaks about a deep connection between human relationships and our relationship with God. They're closely linked, those two. So we come from a relationship. At creation, we read God saying, let us make man in our image. So the inner image that we carry with us as human beings is an image of community. That's our most basic DNA. And it's not just any community. It's a community that we see between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So what do they do in this community? Well, they constantly give themselves to one another. That's what's going on there. All the time. That's what they do. And that's where we come from. And as such, they are being filled with one another. There's this famous prayer from the Old Testament where they prayed, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And the word used here is a kind of oneness that consists of different elements. But the elements has fused together in a way that you really can't separate them any longer. That's how much one they have become. They have been filled to one another with one another to a degree where you can't separate them any longer. It's directly from this concept that we have the biblical definition of marriage, where it says, a man must leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. The same word. Of course, that talks about the physical act, but it talks about way more than that. The act is an expression of the same community that we see between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, the self-sacrificial community. Those two are uniquely linked in a biblical context. Which is also why sex without self-sacrificial love becomes meaningless. And in our part of the world, at least, we know that actually the activity is going down. And if you ask me why, I think this is probably the reason why. Because if you don't have this kind of love as a driving factor in the physical expression of love, in the sexual act, it doesn't really make sense. It basically leaves us more empty after than before. And some of us would actually identify with that. That goes for sex outside marriage, but also within marriage. It has to be garnished by, it has to be driven by self-sacrificial love. Otherwise, it doesn't really make sense. We are made for relationship of a peculiar kind. That is fundamentally what makes sense to us. It's what we cry out for at the moment we were born into this world, leaving the womb of our mothers. That's what we cried for. It was connection. And it's the last thing that we think about before we take our last breath. We know that from research. So it's how we start. It's how we end our life here on earth. And everything between, that's what we are centered around. We long to be filled because that's what we were created for. And therefore, we find in ourselves these three questions. We ask them to all of our important relationships. Are you available? Are you responsive? Are you there for me? If you think about it, these are the questions we actually ask of God. Just a few days ago, I had the privilege of spending some time with two friends who right now go through probably the worst you can experience as human beings. And I'm not going to dive into what that was, but it's probably the worst you can experience. And beneath what they were sharing, I heard these questions all the time. They ask God, God, are you really available? Are you responsive to this? Can we count on you? We see it the same way in the Bible. In Psalm 10, it says, "Why are you so far away, Lord? Why do you hide in times of need?" Psalm 13, "How long will you forget me, Lord? How long are you going to hide your face from me?" Psalm 28, "To you, Lord, I cry. Do not be deaf to me. Do not be silent against me." This is in the Bible. Isn't that amazing? Because we recognize, well, sometimes we ask the same questions. We may not ask them with our words, but we definitely at times ask them with our emotions, right? And you can hear how beneath these questions you find these essential three questions. God, are you really available or are you hiding from me now when I need you the most? God, are you responsive? Are you planning to answer me or are you deaf? It's kind of rude to say that, isn't it? But it's in the Bible, so we are allowed. God, are you really there for me? Can I count on you when I go through whatever it is that I'm going through right now? Interestingly, as it appears, God is asking the same questions of us. It's no big surprise, really, because they come from Him, because we come from Him. So He asks the same questions of us. Isaiah chapter 6, we have the story of God pouring out His heart to the prophet, kind of telling about His burden for Israel and the need. And then He says, "Who shall I send? Who will go for me?" Basically, He's asking, "Isaiah, are you available? Do you hear what I'm saying? Can I count on you?" And Isaiah says, "Yes, God, you can. Here I am. I am available. I heard you." And then He says, "Send me." In other words, you can count on me. And as I'm sure those of you who are regular here are aware, we are really focusing on what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. We are walking through the Gospel of Luke. We have done that for quite a while at Christ Church London. And it's been an amazing journey. Adnan has been taking the lead in organizing all of this together with a group at Christ Church London. And I think it's been amazing to go through this. What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus Christ? And definitely an essential part of being a follower of Jesus Christ is to answer these questions when Jesus asks us. Right? Jesus, I'm available. I want to be with you. I want to live my life with you. Jesus, I seek your presence. It matters. Jesus, I hear you. I hear your word. And I respond to your word. I'm responsive. And then, Jesus, you can count on me. It's an amazing thing to be able to say, Jesus, you can count on me. It's actually a lovely way to start our day in our prayers, to say, Jesus, today I'm available. I'm here. Thank you that you are too. Jesus, I hear you. Do you have anything to say? Jesus, you can count on me. Basically, that is what it's like to be a follower of Jesus Christ. So, we ask these questions to God, He asks them to us, and then we carry the same questions in our friendships with one another. And it's actually important at times to remember our friends, they are actually, without words, they are asking us these questions. And for some of us, when we are hurt, maybe even today, this may be the very reason why we are hurt. Because we didn't get the answer that we wanted to these questions. And maybe for some of us, that's how we have hurt others in our relationships. Because we didn't give them the answer they longed for. I know that for some of us, this would be what preoccupies our inner space today, This is what fills us today. For some of us, this was what we woke up with this morning, a disappointment about relationships. Whether the disappointment was on your own part or the part of someone else. And for some of us, what we need to do is to go and apologize and make amends. And for some of us, what we need to receive is healing because of broken relationships. That is the fact of us. Those are the dramas going on beneath our normal appearance today. These dramas are very much alive. And for some of us, in a particular way, today. When Paul talks about the quality of our community together, and he says that when he speaks about marriage, but he also says this when he speaks about how do we actually live that out? How do we answer these three questions in the way we relate to one another? He actually says it in a very simple way. So if you ask the question, so how can I, in my friendships, how can I, in this community, how can I give a positive answer to these three questions? Paul would say there are two things that we need to do. He says we need to submit to one another, and we need to devote ourselves to one another. Basically, he says, that is how we express this sort of love in our community to one another. That's a practical way of living it out. He didn't really give us any alternatives. So it's not like we can say, sorry, Paul, do you have another way? I hear you, but he doesn't really give us that. He said there are these two ways. Devoting ourselves, submitting ourselves. And devoting simply means that we give ourselves instead of keeping ourselves to ourselves. And submitting means that we give someone else authority in our lives. Which is really threatening, isn't it? It's dangerous ground, but that is what it means. It means that I do not insist on my rights and my conditions, but that I bow to the other one. That's really what it means. I'm concerned with understanding and learning the language, the love language, the community language of the other, instead of being preoccupied with the rest of them speaking my language. Right? I think a number of us are kind of aware of these five love languages, right? They are quite famous, but I still need to read them. Some of us perceive love by words of encouragement, some by services, some by physical touch, some by gifts, and others by time. And I have found even communities have their love language, which is interesting. So the five communities, actually, of Christ Church London would have different love languages. I find that very fascinating. So the love language of the Stockwell service is acts of service. I've never seen a community where that was so kind of in the forefront. It's kind of nice, actually, when you need it. So, yeah. I don't know what it is here, but of course you would know. But it's actually part of community to find out, so what is the primary language of this community? And then speak that language, right? And then get rid of this inner accountant that says, well, did I receive enough? Do they deserve me, kind of? Do you know this inner accountant? Kind of keeping score? That's a killer of marriages, it's a killer of friendships, and it's a killer of community. And there's a polite way of dealing with this inner voice, and there is another way of doing it. The polite way is to kind of say to this inner voice, I hear you, but I'm not letting you control my life. So that's for the Londoners and the people coming from the south. The people coming from the north, they do it a bit differently. They kill the accountant. And I'm from the north, so I kind of like that method. We simply say, you have no place in me. You're not doing anything good in my life. So out you go. So maybe we should be northerns, all of us, on this one. I think that living in this submission and devotion to one another is probably a daily choice. I believe that Jesus' command to take up our cross and follow him starts right there in our closest relationships. This is where devotion and submission play out very practically. Can I have the band come up, please, so we have you ready? So, Adnan and Jess, today we celebrate that you are taking over the leadership of this service, Mileland. And I say this truly from my heart. I can't think of anyone better to lead in what we are talking about today. Do you agree, Joel? So when I was preparing this, I was like, this is Jess and Adnan. This fits perfectly. To lead in a community where there's a strong sense of community being the calling of this. You are just the right ones. And therefore, you are authorized to kill any voice inside you saying something different. You are the right ones to lead in exactly the essence of this prayer. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Isn't that a wonderful thing? I really do believe that this is the calling of this community. And somehow in a particular way, I think this is the testimony. This is the light that needs to shine in Mileland, in this area where so many people are broken by broken relationships. What is the cure for broken relationships? It's healthy relationship, right? It's this kind of relationship that we talk about today. I know that some of us, we are a bit broken when it comes to what we are talking about today. For all sorts of reasons. This is a very sore area in our lives. Some of us are a bit like, I can't figure it out with the relationship thing. It may work for others, not for me. For all sorts of reasons. Some of us have really burned ourselves. Some of us have been in lack of role models in our lives. And for some of us, life has just been really rough on this score. And we don't know whether we dare to engage ourselves fully again. So when I talk about devotion and submission, you're like, no way I'm going to do that. Because last time. Right? And some of us are hurt because life has been so tough with us that we have forgotten that we actually ask these questions of ourselves. The essential part of you asks the rest of you, are you available? Are you responsive? Can I count on you? And for many of us, our relationship to ourselves has broken down, and therefore we are not in a place at all to think about how on earth can I relate to others when this is so broken, right? So we survive in this life, but we don't really live because it's so broken in there. So if that is the case, is there a way for us? And as you would suspect, the answer is yes, there is. But the way is not found in us. There's no therapy that can cure that. Sorry about that. But there isn't. There's only one thing that can cure that. And that is to hear the answer from God on those questions. That you realize that to you, he says, yes, I am available.
I hear you. I see you. I am responsive. And you can count on me. It's when we hear that God says, I give my son a name, and that name is Emmanuel, God with us, God with you. And we kind of start to see, well, Jesus actually said that in so many ways. It's why he came, it's why he died, it's why he rose again, and it's why he is here with us today with his presence. And that's why there's so much healing in his presence. So accepting, hearing, and receiving his yes is the road of recovery for those of us who are a bit or a lot broken on this score in our lives. That's how we become rooted and grounded in love. And the good thing is that we do this together. I'm not giving this message and then saying, over to you. No. We do this together. We worship together, we pray together, we a community get together, we eat together, we drink coffee together. Good coffee, actually. We do all of these things together. We seek Jesus together, we seek his love, and we persist in seeking his love until it breaks through in our lives. Should we stand and pray? So Jesus, I thank you for your wonderful presence with us today. I thank you for the reality of that presence. And I pray for those of us who feel bruised and hurt and brokenhearted when it comes to what we have shared today. Pray that your healing presence will start to touch our hearts. I pray in particular that hope will start to emerge and you will take us out of any state of hopelessness when it comes to what we will experience and how we will thrive in relationships in this life. Holy Spirit, I pray that you will pour out your presence on everyone in this room crying out to you in need of you today. Would you come and do your mighty work amongst us in the name of Jesus Christ.